Okay, now on to step three. Step three is the courage to go beyond. As mentioned in the last session, this is no more or less than having the courage to let go. Naturally, the ego is very resistant to letting go. It not only wants to hold on to its sense of power, but it likes to dominate your life and the lives of others because it feels insecure. So, it may be frightening to let go, but the fear is just a manifestation of the ego. In my view, it's more frightening to stay where you are, isn't it? One has to learn to trust and be able to trust. As spiritual beings, we're flying blind, but that's what makes the whole of this process so fascinating. Let me read you a quote from the little booklet, Weight Loss for the Mind, that comes with this 33-step series. We have to embrace infinity inside a mortal body. We have to believe in a God we can't see. We have to learn to love in a dimension where there's so much hatred. We have to discover freedom where control is the state religion. We have to feel safe in spite of our concerns. So what we're really talking about here is blind trust. You have to have the courage to embrace the idea, accept the idea, and believe it before you have any real proof that this infinite self is there or that it will work for you. You have to be able to regenerate within yourself that sense of believing in order for the power that's within you, the power of that infinity, the higher self, to come into your life. If you can't let go and trust, if your ego personality is fearful or constantly blocking off the inner power with its intellect, with its resistance, then the awareness, the extrasensory perception that you're naturally entitled to will be stymied and held back. We're used to overriding those little messages, aren't we? It's a part of how the ego plays its game. That infinity within you is like a divine celestial wind, which, if you can quieten the mind, will blow gently in your direction and assist you. People ask me, is it intuition? Yes and no. It's more than intuition. Spontaneous intuition is how it manifests in the early stages, while your mind is cluttered and while it dominates you. Later, it comes through as all-knowing, instant information derived, as said, from a heightened sense of feeling. It grows as you focus and discipline, and as you know and believe that you're infinite. Once you can see the 9-to-5 humdrum TikTok world for what it is, the power joins you. It teaches you hour by hour, day by day. It constantly shows you. It will show you the people that you need to be associated with. It will show you the belief patterns that you need to discard and fling off your cart. It will show you when it's time for a career change. It will create a depth of perception for you. However, you have to agree to listen to it. Next, you have to have the courage to be different. Back to the fringe dweller idea. That may get you some flack from the people around you, but so what? Anything is better than being stuck. Next, you have to have the courage to accept and weather the pain and the aggro the ego will go through. It isn't going to like what's going on, and it will protest with very logical, good-sounding arguments trying to turn you round. When that happens, stiffen your resolve and perform some discipline the ego won't like. Throw yourself in the river at 4 a.m. every morning for a week. That should fix the ego pronto. In conclusion to the courage to go beyond, I'd add the courage to be vulnerable. As you change and grow, the ego will feel assailed and threatened. If you have no resistance, you're fine. If you have a lot of resistance, it will hurt. Imagine yourself as a small animal in the forest. It has no defense. It has no power. It is vulnerable. Allow yourself to become vulnerable, and you can come off the macho, dogmatic, insistent psychology that most people suffer from, and you enter into the spiritual beauty of moving and flowing without necessarily knowing which way to go or how you'll get there. Believe, believe, believe. Step four is the courage to accept spirit as your inner guide. It's closely linked to step three, the courage to go beyond. One deals with releasing and becoming vulnerable. The other deals with moving effortlessly from intellect and reaction to subtle feelings and detachment. The process is not difficult. When you have to make a decision, rather than making the decision intellectually, shall I, shan't I, will I, won't I, and thinking through your options, try to, more and more, use your subtle feelings. Open your heart to what spirit is telling you. Ask yourself questions that you don't know the logical answer to. Once you find out that more often than not your inner guidance is right, you're gradually open to accepting spirit as your guide. And as you unclutter your perceptions from the chatter and noise of ego, your inner guidance will become perfectly correct. It will always know. Practice constantly. Let's say you want to phone your mother. Is she home or isn't she? Visualize your mother and push your feelings out towards her and search for her. Is she home? If your feelings say no, don't call her. If your feelings say yes, call her. At the beginning, it doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. All that matters is that you get used to bypassing the intellect, bypassing the personality, bypassing regular knowledge, trying to access a deeper knowledge. Acting upon the information you receive is courageous. The problem is that in our childhood, because of education, the influence of peers and so on, we tend to, little by little, by the age of 7 or 8 usually, to get rid of this inner knowing that a child has naturally. So half the time, you don't listen to what the inner you is saying. And the rest of the time, you couldn't give a damn because your personality has already made up its mind. So, half the time your inner self says, turn left, and you ignore it. And suddenly there's a load of buffalo coming down the main street. And after they've trampled on your foot and you're hobbling for months on end, the little voice goes, left, left. And you go, yeah, maybe. And you head off left. And there's this neat little garden and a bunch of wonderful people saying, where have you been? The coffee's cold. We've been waiting for you for months and months. What happened to you? What's that bandage on your leg for? We resist. The ego personality cannot accept that something else is more important, cleverer, more knowing than itself. However, when you think of it, all intellectual reasoning is mostly guesswork. Taking information from a past performance or experience, one tries to guess what might be the best for the future. But that's very hit or miss. Inner knowing works best. As you begin to trust this guidance, call it a spirit guide, Jesus, Swami, Rami, call it whatever you like. As you start to trust this power, it leads you step by step. It will take you where you need to go, to the next person, to the next opportunity, to the next place, to the next money-making idea. It knows because it is everywhere and everything is feeling. So it is all-knowing. As you concentrate upon it, it becomes stronger. A door opens inside of you. I've had people say to me, well, trusting is frightening. Yes, I suppose it is. But that's the nature of this journey, this quest. The fact is, it's only the personality that is frightened. The real you, eternal, immortal, can't be frightened. It can't be sick. It can't be confused. It lives in a perfect dimension of exquisite beauty. So if you have a fear of letting go, then start talking to your personality. Talk to it like a child and say to it, hello, little ego. I know you're scared of letting go. I know you're scared of quitting this little job in case there isn't another one. But we're eternal. We're abundant, infinite. And I know there's something better up ahead. So don't worry, little ego. We'll be fine. In the end, this journey away from ego into spirit is like journeying through the fog. You're only ever going to see a few steps in front of you. If you can see down the path, 6 months, a year, 5 years, 20 years, here's my pension, here's my retirement, you're deeply in TikTok. You're deeply in the world of the ego because it sets up those rhythms to keep itself comfortable. So Monday's wash day and Tuesday's meatloaf and Wednesday's days of our lives and on from there. One of the ways you're going to know if you're growing, if you're actually moving ahead towards the infinite self, will be the fact that you have more choices. Things will be less definite. You won't see so far into the future. What you'll know is, hey, I feel fine right now, and my energy's rising, so I'm sure it's going to be fine next week, next year. Here's an exercise you can do, and I'm sure you can invent half a dozen others. Whenever you have some free time, try blindfolding yourself. And of course here, I'm presuming that you aren't already blind. If you are visually handicapped, you don't need this exercise, as you'll know it through and through. Okay, for the rest of you, do this. Spend a whole evening blindfolded. You might want to choose a cold dinner that night so it's simple to fix, but fix it blindfolded. Walk around the house blindfolded. Turn things on and off blindfolded. Motor through the evening totally without sight for at least 3 hours. As you deal with the fact that you can't see, you'll notice how frustrated you get. Sometimes you might even be scared or fed up with it. What you're basically doing is you're training yourself to feel out your path, to feel where things are. And you're going to develop feeling confident, not seeing. Feelings will guide you. You have to feel the top of the stairs, and you're not going to chuck yourself down them, hopefully. You're going to make sure that you're not putting your hand on a hot stove. You're going to get used to trusting yourself, trusting your feelings. Let's face it, if you can't trust yourself, who can you trust? An alternative to this exercise of blindfolding yourself at home is to blindfold yourself in a forest. It's amazing how 10 or 15 minutes of that, and you can actually begin to feel the presence of the trees and the obstacles. Try it. So the courage to go beyond and the courage to accept spirit as your inner guide is not necessarily being an incredibly courageous person. It's just being courageous enough to step away from the handrail of life, which delineates the mindset of TikTok, and walking a little way into the unknown. Personally, I find the unknown interesting. You meet people, you travel places, deals and opportunities come up that you never expected. It's interesting. The unknown is really, really interesting. It keeps you awake. Here's a couple of exercises, disciplines if you like, that you might try that will help you. First, you have to learn to push against the ego's comfort zone. So if, say, public speaking terrifies you, then agree to give a speech. If heights bother you, go parachuting. If dark bothers you, walk in the forest at night. Each week, devise one thing that you will use to challenge yourself, to push the envelope of your comfort zone as a part of your strengthening in life. Discipline yourself to remain mentally in the now. Don't allow the mind to daydream, and don't worry about the future. Sure, you can make plans for things that will happen in the future that need to be organized today, but don't future think too much. Stay centered in the eternal present. Step 5 is accepting negativity as a learning experience. Embracing the infinite self is changing one's attitude to negativity in general. Negativity is a term that's cropped up in recent years which describes the negative experiences of life. Most people react to misfortune. They react to it in a predictable way. The ego has rules and regulations. It has needs, desires, opinions, beliefs, and fears. Anytime the ego experiences negativity, it will react. It will react from arrogance. It will react from pompousness and righteousness. Or it will react from its sense of insecurity. It may react from a sense of injustice, or just because its status quo is being assailed, or its power is being diminished in some way. Let me give you an example. Take poverty. Poverty is a good example of what the ego usually thinks of as negative energy. Poverty in the Western world, more often than not, comes from a lack of concerted energy. Given our welfare system, our social security, and the fact that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of help wanted ads in the paper every day, if anybody desperately needed a job today, if their life depended on it, they could get one. Albeit, they might be serving hamburgers, but they can get a job. So the idea that somebody has to sit in the street with their hand out, starving, is not on in Western societies. I was in Dublin the other day, and there was a woman on the sidewalk with her little daughter, who was 3 or 4 years old, begging. And I thought to myself, what is the need for using this small child as a sort of an emotional lever to get money from people? It seems so odd, and it seems so hopeless, and it seems so unfair on the child. Ireland will have the same welfare system and the same social security as everywhere else. And yet here was this woman using her child as a money-making business to crank emotion to get people to react. When you look at a person begging and you react at their lack by expressing emotion within you, you're expressing the opinion of the ego. What most people do when they look at something like that woman is they're coming from their own indignation. The ego is very self-indulgent and very pompous. It says, look at all these poor people. They should have cars, they should have VCRs, they should have a home. They should have all the things the ego feels are vital. In our system here on this planet, you have to create energy if you want things. So if you want to create wealth in this lifetime, what you have to do is think in terms of creating more energy, making yourself more valuable to other citizens on the planet so they're going to pay you for it. When you look at the world in a finite ego sense, we judge it and we make it wrong. In other words, the ego's opinion is that life should be cozy and effortless and somebody should plonk some money in its hand. But that isn't necessarily the case here. If you look at things from the ego's view, then a lot of things on this planet are going to seem to you preposterous. But the beggar in the street is not just ego, personality, and a body. He or she is infinite, and inside that body is an eternal evolution. You don't know that poverty isn't something this person needs to understand themselves, to grow, to come to the conclusion that, hey, if I sit in the dirt here, I don't really get very far. What I really need to do is stand up, brush myself down, and put out some energy. Our society is organized in such a way politically that we underwrite weakness. That's why we have a whole system for cranking indignation in the media. It's a political expedient. We're forced to invest in enormously complex systems for making sure that nobody's ego gets out of whack and that nobody has to put out very much energy. We underwrite their silliness. We underwrite their weakness. However, when you look at negative energy, you're only looking at the contradictions of the ego. So the ego says, I want to live forever, and the body dies. We consider that a negative event. And we say, Harry died. And we take a moment to remember Harry. But Harry isn't dead. He's infinite. You'll never be more alive than the moment after your heart beats its last beat and stops. All the people that died in the war aren't dead. All the people that have suffered aren't suffering. They're still alive. That's the infinite perception of negativity. Understanding that we don't actually understand. And there's something beautiful in that, isn't it? When you say to yourself, I really deeply understand that I don't understand. In other words, you might say to yourself, why were these children massacred? Or why did this terrible event happen? Or why are there so many political prisoners in Asia? Why do we need this evil? Sure, we're trying to change things, but there are infinite reasons beyond our understanding. So because they're beyond our understanding, we just have to be compassionate and understand that what people are going through, whether it's a positive event from the ego's viewpoint or a negative event, is a part of their evolution. What we have to do, if we want to grow spiritually, is get out of the emotion. That doesn't mean you aren't going to help people. It doesn't mean that you aren't going to be a kind person. It just means that you're going to detach from being flip-flopped around by every political or social event that enhances the ego or detracts from the ego's opinion. What we're looking to do is understand death, pain, cruelty, restriction, discrimination, illness, misfortune, and poverty in a different way. Not from the self-indulgent, survivalist attitude of the ego, not from a righteous emotion, but from a more distant emotion, where we understand that there are 5 billion or more spirits evolving on this physical plane inside physical bodies. And there are certain experiences that these spirits need to pick up that are a part of this evolution. As you understand that, you can step back and look at life from a more angelic stance. Sure, I would prefer that the world didn't have poverty. I would prefer that the world didn't have wars and strife. I would prefer that there wasn't any agony or pain. And I'd prefer that there wasn't so many military regimes and restriction upon citizens by their government. But that isn't part of this planet's evolution, where it finds itself along the timeline of human history. So we can't go any faster than we're going. We've already evolved enormously. If you take the mind back to, say, 1,000 years ago, to the year 1,000, let's say, you can see how far we've evolved in just this millennium. We have human rights, high-tech medicine, the social contract, our sense of caring. A lot of energy now is being put into conservation and looking after the planet. We've got a long way to go, but we've got to give the planet credit for how far it has progressed already. If you get too hung up in the political and social issues, if you get too sucked into causes, you get very firmly stuck inside the definitions of the ego. This isn't good or bad necessarily, but if you're trying to embrace the infinite self, what you're going to have to do is detach. That's the central part of this philosophy. Detachment isn't callousness. It's not that you're going to say, hey, I don't give a damn about these people. It's just that you have to understand that their evolution is important. It's sacrosanct. Just because a person is in the gutter drunk doesn't mean that they shouldn't be there. One would hope better things for them, but maybe they have to fall to a very low level in order to pick themselves up. Maybe they don't want to work themselves back up again just yet. Maybe in this lifetime they have to experience what it feels like to do nothing and degenerate. So when you see people doing pain, you have to accept that we don't really understand it. So if 5 people whack a tree, you can't get sucked into the energy of it all. All you can do is say, interesting evolutionary experience, remembering that they are immortal, so they're not dead. Collapse is the way our people understand that they have to change their game plan and raise their energy. We've all had hard times. Everyone has had rough patches in their lives. It's true, isn't it, that when you went through the rough patch, there was a moment when you turned it around, where you started to grab the bull by the horns and think, hey, I'm not going to take this anymore. You started to generate enthusiasm, energy, action, learning, healing, fixing, looking at yourself and saying, wait a minute, I'm a victim of my ego here. I better do something about it. So when you look at people, you have to look at them from that kind of compassion, from the more distant understanding that as humans, dwelling within the infinite self, we cannot know what people need. We cannot understand why things are the way they are. What we can understand is that given the human evolution, given where people are at, where their ego is at, their perception, this is what's going on at this time. So we'll do our best to spread goodness, but what we won't do is infringe upon people. We won't try to pick them up and fix them if they haven't asked us for help. We have to learn to disengage from the world, and I'll talk more about that later. The whole point is, are you going to see the world from the insecurity, from the pompousness, the arrogance, the dogma, the self-indulgence of the ego's view? Or are you going to understand negative energy, misfortune, disease, death, whatever, from the infinite self? Now, some people might say, how can there be a God if there is so much evil on the earth plane? The fact is, God isn't involved in the evil. God is detached and just watching it. God isn't saying there should be evil or there should be good. God is just in a detached space, watching, loving, and being there for us, but not interfering, allowing each of us to work through what we want to work through. And you know what you need to work through. Certainly, someone can give us a hand, but in the end, you have to buy your own healing. You either buy it with money, because you go to a counselor or a practitioner or healer of some kind, or you buy it with energy. You put out energy and heal your life. Raising people's energy by picking them up from above doesn't work. It's almost like if you reach down and pick a person up, their legs lose contact with the ground. They lose contact with where their energy is actually at. What is true? What is real? What is feasible? What is doable today, given their energy? So when you pick people up, you take them off the ground and their little legs are flapping in the air. Now you're responsible and you've got to hold them up and you've got to keep holding them up. And God forbid if you ever let them down again and say, hey, I've helped you for 6 months, now you're on your own. At that point, they're going to get extremely pissed and they're going to say what a rat you are. You're going to think, hang on a minute, that doesn't seem just. I've been helping this guy all this time and now he's saying what a rat I am. The fact is, you reached down and picked him up. He wasn't necessarily ready, so you infringed upon his evolution by trying to accelerate his perceptions, trying to accelerate his energy without him asking for it. Some people at my seminars have asked me, Stu, you're teaching, you're helping people raise their energy, aren't you infringing upon people? But you have to understand that teaching somebody is a completely different thing to going in and interfering with their life. I don't come knocking on your door and saying, hey, listen to these programs, read my books, etc., etc. You choose to listen. Somebody lent them to you or you bought them, but you made the decision. So when people come to you and ask you for help, help them. Be kind, be generous, be gracious. Be a big person and give of yourself, give of your energy. You don't necessarily have to give money, but give of your energy. You can give advice, love, expertise, but don't pick them up. So when they say, what should I do? Answer by saying, what would you like to do? How do I fix this problem? How would you like to fix the problem? How am I going to get out of this mess? How would you like to get out of this mess? In this way, you get them to see that the only way up is when they are enthusiastic about their life and their evolution on this earth plane. When their desire to achieve and perceive and grow is greater than the ego's self-indulgence, obstinacy, and its destructive ways. So accepting negativity is the concept of, hey, we are in an infinite evolution. We're looking at a group of dead bodies whose infinite being has departed and is still alive. So there is no death. All the agony we experience emotionally and psychologically is all agony of the ego. When you understand that, a very big door opens inside of you. If the ego didn't have dogma, positions it had to defend, you couldn't have negative energy. Someone would come up to you and say, I'm going to shoot you in the head, and you'd say, fine, I'm infinite. Do what you need to do. Meanwhile, I'm going to carry on here, working in my flower garden. If the ego didn't have an opinion, there couldn't be fear. There couldn't be all of these people hurting each other. So understanding negative energy in a different way is important. Negativity is part of people's evolution. If you want to step out of the popular emotion, if you want to step out of the tribal mind and its predictability, then you're going to have to leave people alone. And you're going to have to understand that their evolution is their evolution. And there's nothing wrong with negativity. We would prefer the world to be better. But if it were perfect, we wouldn't be here. because we would have nothing to work on. Okay, let's go to the next session, and we'll talk about human knowledge, belief patterns, strengths, weaknesses, and the masters that walked the earth plane. Thank you.